Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness, that you're our teacher. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us insight this morning into just what you've done for us and just what you're going to do in the future. And so we just thank you for your encouragement. So I pray you anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, turn your Bibles to Luke 19:11. Now, if you have a Bible, iPad, iPhone, whatever you use, this would be a good morning to use it, because we're going to go over a lot of scripture. And so you can follow along if you would like to. So turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 11. So that's what we're going to be hanging out at. So it says this: as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Now, we have been going through the book of Luke. Everybody knows that, because I remind you, been reminding you every week for a year, like you can't remember. But anyway, I'm reminding. So we've been going through the book of Luke for almost a year. And I just think Jesus' ministry was just 3 years long. I mean, we've almost been in the book of Luke as long as he preached, you know. So we're taking our time to go through that. So we are at this point. This point is entitled this, the final act. The final act. So what Jesus is doing is we have followed him, and he's laid out his ministry and what he's done, the things he's performed, and the impact he's made. Now he's ending everything, and he is coming into Jerusalem. And it's really important for us to recognize at this point, this is a turn in the ministry. This is truly his final act on earth, what he does. And it helps us, if we have that in our mind, it helps us to understand what the rest of Luke is, he's trying to say in the rest of Luke. It's also important to know that, because especially in the book of Matthew, also in the book of Mark, and also in the book of John, the same event happens, and then he starts preaching, and his preaching has a little turn to it, okay? He has a different view to it, and it helps us, if we realize this is his final act, helps us to understand, and we all want to understand what the Bible says and how it's put together. Well, it's there for a reason. There's a context, and there's a reason, okay? So we want to think about this, and I want to give you the whole kind of big context of what's happening here. So here is his ministry. He said, now he's got a bunch of people following him. I mean, there's a lot of people. And so we know that this, as he's coming into, this is the final act. He's moving into Jerusalem. And these people recognize it. Okay, something's going to happen. They're all around him, say, this is the king. This is the Messiah. He's going into something is going to happen. So he's walking into Jerusalem, and so they recognize this. And the other thing we need to know, and it's important, the final act, and we've gone over this before, the final act takes place in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is key. It's not just a city and around the world. You know, all over the world, this is a great city. This is great. When you read the Bible, he goes, no, there's just one. It's Jerusalem. And so the things were built in around Jerusalem. And so Jesus is fulfilling so many prophecies. And he's coming in his final act. He is going to Jerusalem. This is where it's going to end. Now, he's been here a few times before, but this time, this is where it's going to end. He's going into Jerusalem. Now, here's the other thing that's really important. All these people are coming. Multitudes are coming with him. And these people all misread it. They all misread the final act. They all misread what he's going to do, because they suppose that the kingdom's going to appear immediately. See, oh man, we're going in with Jesus, and boom, stuff is going to happen. The kingdom's coming. So they're happy. Okay, this is what's going. So this is this group of people that are coming with him. And this is kind of what this verse says. So let's just put this in context, because what Jesus is doing and what's happening at this time. Now here's the first point of this final act. Okay, the first act is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now some of us may know this as Palm Sunday. How many of you ever celebrated Palm Sunday and didn't have a clue what Palm Sunday was? I'm holding my hand. I didn't have a clue what Palm Sunday was. It's Palm Sunday. I said, so? You know what I mean? What's Palm Sunday? Well, Palm Sunday is when Jesus enters into Jerusalem this last time. That's Palm Sunday, okay? So he's going to, and he's going to spend 1 week. This is, you talk about a productive week. It's going to be 1 week. So Palm Sunday starts the week. It starts Easter holiday, you know, whatever. So that's what Palm Sunday, anybody learn anything? Palm Sunday, that's what it is. And we're going to find out why they called it Palm Sunday, but that's what's happening here. The triumphal entry, it's Palm Sunday. This is where it starts. This is where it starts, okay? And when he drew near, and this is important, this is something kind of you just kind of pass by. It says, when he drew near, he went to these couple of cities, and then he went to this mount called Mount Olives. Anybody heard of Mount Olives in the Bible? There's Mount Olives. Well, this is where Jesus is. He comes on, he brings all these people, and he comes to Mount Olives. He's on Mount Olives, and he starts talking to them. Now, here's something. I want you picturing this. This in your mind. Here is Jesus. 3 years of ministry, and he's standing on Mount Olives, and he knows he's going in. This is his triumphal entry. He's going into Jerusalem. Mount Olives is the place when Jesus comes back. You ever heard people, I've joked about this before, probably shouldn't have. They say, oh, Jesus is going to come back in Kansas, you know. Jesus is going to come back in Alaska. Jesus is going to come back. Yeah, I mean, you hear all this. All over. I mean, he's coming back all over the place. People, you know, and they said, you know, and they get a big following and they go to Kansas or whatever, you know. And I'm not being facetious. I mean, I can name some place they really went to. And Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to Mount Olives. Okay, you should tell, ain't Kansas, Mount Olives. Okay, just so you can let them know. It's Mount Olives. When Jesus returns, he's coming back to Mount. So here he is standing, going to Jerusalem. When he returns to judge the nations, he's coming there. This is just like, he's probably looking at the ground. I'm probably laying right here. You just wait, I'm coming back. You think this is something. You wait till I come back. Okay, you got Mount Olives? And it, well, you know, I just raised my hand. You got Mount Olives? You're going, no, I don't have Mount Olives. You have got Mount Olives. You with me? Mount Olives, okay? Well, it was predicted. See, that's what's good about the Bible. It tells us this stuff. You know, I love Jesus. I don't read my Bible. It's not important. I don't have time, but I love Jesus. You don't know nothing. I mean, how are you going to get through life with anything? You'll probably go follow this some guy to Kansas. But if you, I love Jesus and read my Bible, I'm not going to Kansas. By the way, love people in Kansas. I'm not mean picking up on Kansas. I think it was just Dorothy, you know, and the Wizard of Oz that came about. I don't know. The point of it is you go, no, I'm not going to Kansas. If he comes back, he's going to come back to Mount Olives and drink because I read my Bible. See, a lot of people love Jesus could end up in Kansas. See, because they don't understand anything. That's the reason it's important to understand something. Okay, see, God told them, knew beforehand. Zechariah, and that's not, I'm going to read this to you. Zechariah 14:14. Okay, about 400 or 500 years before this event, this is what the prophet Zechariah said. On the last day, when? We're done. You know, stick a fork in it. It's done, okay? He says, Zechariah says, on the last day, his feet, he's talking about the Messiah, he's coming about Jesus, because Jesus is the Messiah. On the last day, the Messiah will stand on Mount Olives. Revised version says Kansas. No. No. You stay. He's coming back to Mount Olives. He's coming back to Mount Olives. So on the last day, his feet shall stand on Mount Olives that lies before Jerusalem. See, and I'm being overly facetious, but when you see another of this stuff, it drives you crazy. And you hear, well, there is a special place, and it's a hidden place, and nobody, it's a Mount Olives, and it's in Kansas. Oh, and nobody knows, so I'll take you there. No, it's the Mount Olives in front of Jerusalem. There's, don't let somebody lie to you and twist it. The scripture's clear. So Zechariah 14:14, he's going to come back. His feet are going to stand on Mount Olives before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount Olives shall split open in two pieces, east to the west, and a very large valley will be there, and one half of the mount will move northward, and one half of the mount will move southward. Will we have any question when he comes back? Any question? See, so we know this. So here Jesus is. He's on Mount Olives. And he's going to talk, you know, he's talking about coming back. We're here. Amen? Y'all with me? So this is important. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Mount Olives before Jerusalem. It was prophesied. Now he's got all these people around. Then he does something that's kind of strange. Kind of strange, you know. It's like, you know, Alexander the Great came to Jerusalem to conquer. He didn't conquer it, and that's a whole story in itself. And, you know, Alexander the Great, a mighty general, comes in, and he had these special horses. He had a special horse. It's kind of a legend, his special horse, you know, Alexander the Great. So here comes Jesus, who's bigger than, greater than Alexander the Great, right? So he's coming in. He's going to get on his stallion and go to Jerusalem. Because what he does, he says, I'm telling you, I want you to go and enter the town and find a donkey. I want you to bring the donkey back here, untie it and bring it to me. In another passage, I think it's Matthew, well, wait a minute, we're going to get this guy's donkey. Well, he says, just tell him I need it and he'll give it to you. All right. So he gets a donkey. He's on Mount Olives, and he sends the guys to go get a donkey to bring back so he can ride on it into Jerusalem. Doesn't exactly look like Alexander the Great, but, you know, making a statement. So he's moving into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, on a donkey, which was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That's why he did it. Because in Zechariah, he prophesied, you're going to know who Jesus is. But he's going to come to you, your king is going to come to you riding on a donkey. Amen? Here's what Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. How many of you know what Zion is? You don't have to raise your hand. I went years. I know what Zion was. You know, I thought it was a skin disease. What is Zion? You know, it's Jerusalem. It's the hill, they call it Zion, Mount Zion. That's where the temple is. So it's not the thing we use here. So here it is, and Zechariah says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, the people of Zion, the people of Jerusalem. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. Why did he get a donkey? Why did Jesus say, get me a donkey? Because he's Messiah. And the Messiah is going to come riding a donkey. That's a prophetic. That's how they're going to know it's the Messiah. He's coming riding a donkey. Told 400 or 500 years before the event. So Jesus, you know, Jesus wrote scripture. So, you know, this is something I need to take care of. Amen? So we see the donkey. We got this. Everybody got this. We know things are happening. This is, you're on Mount Zion. He's going to come back. The whole thing's going to, he's on Mount Olives. He's going to come back and the whole thing's going to split in half. But right now, I'm standing here. Bring me a donkey and I'm going to ride in on the donkey. Now, because it's going to be a while before I come back and it splits in half. Okay? So you see a gap here. Now, nobody has a clue what he's talking about. Nobody has a clue what he's talking about. So here he goes, and so he starts to ride into Jerusalem on this donkey. And all these people are going, whatever, and they're really excited. And they're going there taking their coats off and throwing them in the street in front of them. So when he walks, he doesn't even have to walk on the dirt. He's walking on their coats, and they take palm branches off and lay down in front. So the donkey is walking over their coats and their palm branches. They're walking into Jerusalem over the palms. What do they call this Sunday? What do they call it? Palm Sunday. Because they took all these palms, they're laying them on the road, so he walks over. They're celebrating. I mean, these weren't the richest people in the world, so they just took their coats, they put palms, and they're celebrating. He's riding a donkey into Jerusalem. Into Jerusalem. And we know if people know scripture, they know this is Messiah. This is Messiah. Just like the Old Testament said. So here we are. Now here's what's interesting too, which is fascinating, is in this final act, they start praising Jesus. They start praising Jesus. And the Pharisees and the religious rulers, the religious. I rolled that, the religious. I hate that word. The religious rulers, what they did, they said, look, you can't, all these people are praising you. That's like blasphemy. All these people are praying. They can't praise you. And they're saying, Hosanna in the highest, the Christ, the Messiah. They're putting palm trees, they're rejoicing. And the religious leader says, you can't do that. You can't do that. And then this is what Jesus says. I tell you, and listen, this is what Jesus says. He says, I tell you, if these people were silent, the very stones would cry out. Now, I'm going to get praise. You ever think, gosh, nobody praises Jesus, and that's so sad, and I don't know what God's going to do. Nobody cares. Now, I'm going to get praise because I make the rocks praise me. I make the rocks praise me. Say, no, that's no problem. And so they're telling these people, be quiet. If they were quiet, I'd make the rocks praise me. So what he does is he receives all this praise. They say, you're king, you're Messiah. Yep, riding on my donkey. And I'm going in. And so that's what he, so that's the important part. He receives praise. Now he gets up to Jerusalem, and he's coming in into Jerusalem, and he does something very interesting. He sits and he looks at Jerusalem, he cries. Now, how many things you got? I mean, you should take note of that. How many places you know in the scripture? There's a couple where Jesus cries. He just cries. I mean, he's Son of God. He's God. I mean, you can kind of pull off anything you want to pull off, can't you? But he pulls up to Jerusalem, and he cries. He's on his donkey. He's crying over Jerusalem. And I'm going to read to you what he says. He's looking at this city. Now, Jesus knows. He's coming in on a donkey, king and Messiah. Now, he's going to come back one day. Mount Olives is going to split. But he's looking at Jerusalem, and he cries. And he wept over it, saying, oh, if you only knew what this day was. If you only knew what it was to make peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. But the days are going to come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know what the time was. He just cries because he sees the end. He's going to be leveled. It's going to be leveled. Now, this is important. He's closing. I mean, he's closing this book up, right? He's closing. He's going into. He's crying over it. Now, what he's there. When we look at this time, there were two destructions in the scriptures. There's two destructions of Jerusalem talked about. There's two. Now, previously, they've been destroyed before. They keep rebuilding. You know, Jesus, God has them rebuild. But there are two destructions he's talking about. So this is about 30 A.D., somewhere around there. In 40 years later, in 70 A.D., 40 years from this time, the Romans come in by Titus and destroy Jerusalem. They level it. And it was the time of the feast. It was the time they were celebrating. They say it was swell with people. Said probably up around 3 million people there. Around 3 million people. Slaughtered all of them. All of them. The Roman Titus, and this is recorded, the Roman Titus said it was so bad, and then he goes, God, I didn't, and he says, pagan God, he's God, I didn't mean it to be this bad. I didn't mean it to be this bad. I just wanted them to give up. I didn't mean it to be this bad. It was so bad. And they burned it down, and then they tore all the walls down, and they leveled it, and they ran them all out. That's what Jesus saw. When he went in there, he saw it. And this is what he's talking about. This is what he's talking about. He sees this total destruction. Now, do you hear today, if you pay attention, like in Jerusalem, by the way, it's the same Jerusalem today in Israel, and they'll say there's a wailing wall. You ever hear that? The way they go on the wailing wall. It's all that's left. It is the wailing wall that was there at the time of Jesus. It's all that's left is that wailing wall. And so the Jewish hold it in esteem, because that's what's left of it, and they want to rebuild that because that's where Jesus is supposed to come to. Of course, they missed him, but that's where, so the big wailing wall. So it's current right here. All right, so here we see this, and he sees this destruction. But now, so there's going to be a rebuilding of Jerusalem. That's the destruction he's talking about there. But there's a second destruction. There's a clearly stated in the Bible, a second destruction. Can anybody guess when it is? How about when Jesus comes back and puts his feet on Mount Olives and it splits? That's the second time. Going to level it. See? So there you go. So Jesus knows this. So he goes into Jerusalem. Everybody's like, yippee. He's just like, oh, gosh. Oh. He cries. Jesus looks at it and cries. So at the 70 AD, total destruction. But he's coming back a second time because he went in on a donkey this time. He's coming back from heaven and going to step on Mount Olives. It's going to split two different times. Okay? So a lot of stuff is happening around here, right? A lot of stuff. And so we see what's happening. Now, and so we know this. And again, so it's all prophesied in Zechariah. All prophesied in Zechariah. People don't understand it, but it's all prophesied in Zechariah. And then he proceeds on in to Jerusalem and goes into the temple of God that God had built, and that's where the prophesied in the Old Testament, and that's where God meets with his people, the temple of God. So he walks into the temple of God, and what he does, he cleanses it. Now, in the different Bibles, it talks about he goes in, he turns all the tables over, he runs out the money changers, he cleans it, he makes a whip. I mean, sweet Jesus made a whip. He runs everybody out. He runs all the animals out. He turns over the money changers. He cleanses it. Then he starts teaching. He starts teaching. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers, they weren't real happy with that. Okay? But he starts teaching. This is what the Messiah does. You want to hear the real stuff? I'm telling you the real stuff. So he cleanses the temple. Now, that is, so when we see that, and he makes a comment when he cleanses out the temple, he says, my house is a house of prayer for all people, and you made it a den of robbers. That's a quotation from Isaiah 56:7. I mean, he didn't even have to make it up. He just quotes the Old Testament. My house is a house of prayer. You made it a den of robbers. So he just cleansed the whole thing up. Now, can you see some tension building up as he comes into town? You know? Jesus, like, he's going to come and he's going to bring peace and love and comfort, sort of, okay? He's going to clean house is what he's going to do. He's going to clean house. And so that's what we have here. Now, so here we have this picture and all these people around him. Now what I want to do is go back to where we started in verse 11, 19:11. So let's look at this. They're coming in, and what does it say? He tells them a parable. They heard these things. He proceeded to tell, as they heard these things about what he's going to do, he told them a parable because he was near Jerusalem. He knew all this going on. So he's near Jerusalem, so he's got to tell them what's going to happen. He's near Jerusalem, and so he proceeded to tell them a parable because he's near Jerusalem because they supposed the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. It's going to happen now. And he goes, well, everything, you got it about half right. You know, I mean, you don't have it all put. You ever pray to the Lord and the Lord tells you something and you kind of, okay, I get this, but I don't get this. You know, I mean, that's what it's always been. I just can't give you the rest of it. You're just not going to be able to put your arms around it. So, but you, if you do this, then you're going to be able to handle this. Okay. Now, if you're like me, you just moan and groan and complain. Right, like, he can, I just wait. So, but this is what all these people are. So this is what you have here. Now, we together on this event, just kind of fun storytelling context. Before he goes in, right after this verse, before he goes in, he goes, these people all think I'm going to do the kingdom now. They think I'm going to do it now. That's what they think. They don't understand. And you know what he did just before this in chapter 18? He told them. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I mean, I just think you're talking to your kids. This is what I'm going to do. And then tomorrow, what'd you say? He told them in chapter 18, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the Gentiles are going to crucify me. And then I'll rise on the third day. He already told them. So they're in Jerusalem, and they were going, they go, hooray, the kingdom's coming. Now, no, I told you, in chapter, I told you, that they don't understand. So what he does, he says, listen, I'll tell you one more story, and maybe you'll get it. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is going to help you get it, because you don't get it. You're right, I am the king, I am Messiah, I am going in Jerusalem, everybody's going to be happy, but there's some other stuff going to happen, like me getting killed, and then I'm going to go to heaven, and then I'm going to come back, and then we're going to destroy Jerusalem for the second time, and then all this happens. And you go, huh? Now, so he tells them the story, tries to help them understand what's going to happen, okay? So you want to hear the story? Okay, now this, he tells them before he goes in. He tells them before he goes in, because if you look at this verse, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable. Hey, you don't get it. I'm going to try to help you get it. So here's what God is doing. He's trying to help us get it. Amen? All right, here it is. Therefore, just as he's entering Jerusalem, and we'll get to it, I'll read through it, but I'm going to give you a little summary. He tells them this parable, this story, it's a parable, so they might understand. In the summary, he basically tells them this. He goes, I'm going to depart, and I'm going to go to heaven. But while I'm going to heaven, I'm going to give you resources and gifts to all you believers I leave behind. And then when I return from heaven, I'm going to have each person come to me, and then I'm going to have each person to give an accounting to me of how they use their gifts and resources while I was gone. Okay? And then he says, there's going to be a bunch of people. Now, I'm going to just tell you what he says. There's going to be a bunch of people, though, that reject me, specifically the Jews that crucified him. And so I'm going to bring all of them here. I'm going to kill them all. So that's what he tells them before he goes in. He said, this is what's going to happen. So this is what you're going to witness. And they go in. How many of you think they understood that? None. But at least it's written down. It's written down. So listen to it. Now we need to pay attention to this because it applies to us. Because we are the ones still here. Amen. And we know Jesus is coming back a second time. Where? Mount Olive. See, nobody said Kansas. That was good. You said Mount Olive. So we know he's coming again. So we're here and he's coming the second time. So we know that. Okay, so listen to this parable. This is what he has in his mind, but he's telling them up front. Now I'm just going to read through it. So he's giving them an example they can understand. And he said, therefore there was a nobleman. He's right here at Mount Olives. Okay? He said, therefore there was a nobleman. And he went into a far country for himself to receive a kingdom. Okay, you with me? There's a nobleman. And he went into a far country to receive a kingdom. Who is he talking about? Himself. He's trying to make them understand. I'm leaving. It's just like there's a nobleman that's going to a kingdom, a far kingdom, and he's going to receive a kingdom. He's going to receive a kingdom for himself. Then he says this, calling 10 of his servants, he gives them 10 minas. Aren't you happy? What in God's green earth is a mina, you know? Well, it's a weight, for money, and they did it by weight, like a talent, you know? It's weight, you know, and it was about 3 months' wages. You know, so he didn't like give him 10 million and say, no, here's a mina, okay? Here's about 3 months' wages, all right? So that's what that means. So you can write in your Bible, it's a mina, it's 3 months' wages. So he calls these 10 servants and he gives them each a mina. He gives each one of them 3 months' wages, all right? And then he tells them this. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. Think about this. I'm leaving. Jesus is departing. He's leaving believers here. He's given us resources. He said, now engage in business until I come. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know if you get off your butt and do something. I mean, it's kind of what he's saying. You know? I mean, it's just what he's saying. So So they got this, so he tells them, engage in business till I come. And then it said the people around him that didn't believe him says the citizens around him hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. So they're not liking him. So when he returned from receiving the kingdom, okay, when is this? When he returned from receiving the kingdom, when is this? Mount Olives. Jesus' second return. See, that's what he's telling us. He's giving the picture, but he's giving this earthly picture so we can get our arms around it, okay? He says, so we have the king, when he returned from receiving the kingdom, everything is his now, and so he ordered the servants whom he had given the money to be called to him so he might know what they gained by doing business. Oh my goodness, I made 4 trips to the King's Dominion. I mean, you know, we eat out every night. I mean, we're having a blast with the 3 months' wages. You know, we thought, gosh, this is just happy time. All right. So you go, oh, this is going to be a tough conversation. That's going to be a tough conversation. But you see what he said, engage in business. He engaged in business. I mean, I think it's okay to go to King's Dominion, but I said, don't use my money. You know, use the money I gave you. All right. So here's it. Anyway, you can see what's happening here. So he called them to him. Now, just think about this. This is kind of a little knee-knocking. He's coming back to Mount Olives and he's splitting in two. Hey, I want to talk to you. You go, oh, this is serious. He ain't on no, he's not on any donkey now. See? But I'd like to hear what you done, what I gave you. So he came back. And the one said, the first one came saying, Lord, you're 3 months worth of money, and I made 10 more. Smart aleck. I hate people like that. Yeah, I made 10 more. He's like, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, you will have authority over 10 cities. I'm giving you authority. Amen? That's what happened at the end. And the second came. He said, hey, Lord, I took mine. I got 5 minus back. I said, wow, good buddy. He said, you're going to be over 5 cities. His reward. And I assume he just keeps clicking off these guys, right? He's clicking off at the end of time. And then you get this guy. And he said, he comes to the Lord and he said, here's your mina. Gotta give the guy credit. He didn't eat out, go to King's Dominion, nothing. He just kept it. You know, he's like, Jesus gave me this stuff. I don't know, man, you lose this thing, you're hot stuff. So I'm just keeping it, just give it back to him. Just give it back to him. So he said, here it is. Here's your mina back. And he says, for I was afraid of you because you're a severe man. You take what you did not deposit. You reap what you did not sow. He's saying this to Jesus. Then Jesus said, you ready? Then Jesus says, I will condemn you with your own words. You wicked servant. Oh, this Jesus, we can't condemn. We get condemned by our own words. That's what he says. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, at least I collected it with interest. I mean, we're just talking business. You can put it in the savings account. You know, I mean, what is the interest rate? 4.5%, you know, I get some interest. I'm getting nothing back from you. So if you knew I was that bad, why didn't you put it in the bank and I could get interest? Then he said, now this is fascinating. Then he said to those who stood by, oh, by the way, everybody's looking at this. Hey, what'd you do? Everybody's around. I didn't do nothing. You know, everybody knows. You know? So everybody's looking at him. So he says, Jesus said to him, to all those who stood by, he says, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. Take that one from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Lord, he already has 10. Jesus said to him, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I start to say amen, but it's like, I don't want to, because that it shall be. It's like, oh my gosh. See? He said, no, this is big stuff here. I gave you this, and this guy gave me 10. And I said, you don't have 10 cities. You put a lot into it. And he says, this guy didn't do it. I'm going to take what he had. I'm giving it to you. Now, we're talking money here. Now, it's not, but it's a parable thing. It's talents and productivity on what we do. And then he kind of throws his in at the end. And he said, and by the way, these are the people. The guy that didn't invest his money, he believed in Jesus. He just didn't think he was doing what he ought to do. So he just kept it. So I'm saying that as like a non-believer. This is just, you know, paying up at the end of time based on what we did. All right. So he says, but there's a whole bunch of people that just reject him. A whole bunch of people reject him. And he says this, for these enemies of mine. Now Jesus is still talking. For these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Goodness. Now, when he comes back and that Mount Olives splits open, there is an accounting. There is an accounting. Now, here's a summary. I have an overhead here, and I'll go quickly through this. But here's the overhead. And we now, Jesus, he's going in. This is the final act. Hey, yay, the Messiah's coming. Whoopee. He goes, all right, here's what's happening. Let me tell you what's happening. And I'm telling you, it's beforehand, okay? Now, go get me a donkey, and we're going to ride it. Okay, and we're there happy as they can be. Now, here's the summary of this. Here's the summary of this parable. Jesus, I've over here, yeah. Jesus will go away to receive a kingdom. Did he do that? He crucified and he was resurrected. Right hand of God. Jesus will give his people ability and gifts to carry out his business while he has gone. One of the things he did at Pentecost, he told them all at Pentecost, he says, don't go anyplace until you have the gifts from on high. And he gives them the Holy Spirit. And the supernatural gifts fall on them. See? Like, and then he gives his people gifts. Like he gave, you know, one, ten. He gave them all. He gave everybody gifts. But then everybody did different. Some got 10 back. Some got 5 back. Some got 2 back. Some didn't do nothing. You know? Like that. Kind of sounds like the church. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And so he's saying that. And he goes, so he gives his people gifts and abilities to carry on his business. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? You receive the Holy Spirit. You have a gift. By definition, you can't be a Christian and not have a gift. You cannot, all right? But what we do with it is up to us. It's up to us. And then three, some reject Jesus, okay? He said, I mean, that's tough stuff. They reject you. He's going to slaughter them in front of him. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, there's a big movement in churches, and I can't believe it, and they're trying to talk away hell. Well, I mean, you have to talk away the Bible. There is a hell. There is a slaughter. There is a judgment. There is a coming to account. For believers, there's a coming to account. You know, I love this verse. I just love this verse. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about, says, some of you aren't doing nothing. He says, but you're going to be saved like somebody going through the fire. And you finally get there, going through flames. Because you did nothing for me. So you just come through flames. And so, and again, I hate the picture this leaves you with. And so you just come through and you didn't do nothing for Jesus and salvation, a free gift. And you're standing there and you don't have nothing. You're standing there in your underwear. You did nothing, but you're there. You know, that ain't bad. that ain't bad being there, all right? But you think, gosh, you know, I wish I'd done something to get here. But that's what it says in 1 Corinthians. You make it, but just like going through the flames of a fire, you get nothing but you. But you, stitched, arched, naked, all right? It's basically what it says. Now, he says this, Jesus will return from heaven and have his followers to give an accounting of their time on earth. Those who have been productive for Jesus will be praised and rewarded. Those who didn't do anything for Jesus will be rebuked. I mean, that's, I don't know how that works because we're in heaven. Everybody's happy. You know, I'm happy we love you here, but you didn't do nothing while you were there, man. But we're glad you're here anyway, I guess. But something's going to, you're going to know. You're going to know. And then five, those who reject Jesus will be condemned. Now, he told them. They knew. He told, what do you want me? Give me your children. What do I got to do? You're not getting it. I tell you, and I tell you, and you're not getting it. That's what Jesus, I tell you, I told you. I told you here, and I told you here, I told you here, and I told you here. And you know what the disciples said? Jesus is about to be resurrected. He has been resurrected. He's before his disciples. He's going to ascend into heaven. And you know what his disciples say? This is what they said. They go, the kingdom coming today? I mean, I don't know. Jesus is like, geez. They don't get it. Did he tell them? I'm going to ask you something. Do you think he's telling us anything? I love this. This is kind of impromptu, but I'll share it. It just came to mind. I love this scripture. The Sadducees, okay, they're kind of intellectual, you know, Jewish leaders, Sadducees. And so they asked them, Jesus, a question. And so it was like an impossible question, okay, about marriage and stuff. I mean, it's, you know, had 10 wives or something like they all died in your heaven, whose wife it is, and just stuff like that. And Jesus is going, you know, you think like, first of all, you're missing the whole point. But so they come to him and say, okay, Jesus, give us the answer. He said, well, first of all, let me tell you, here's your problem. And this is the reason I don't know if I'd ever ask Jesus anything. I just wait till the end. Because this is what he tells him. What's the answer, Jesus? He goes, well, your problem is, you don't know God and the power. You don't know the scriptures and the power of God. That's your problem. Now we'll tell you. What's the issue? What's our issue? We don't know the power. We don't know the scriptures or the power of God. We just love Jesus and we're skipping through life and everything's going to work out, you know, and some idiot's going to come and try to get us to go to Kansas or something. And I'm not being facetious. You watch the news. Oh, those all people must have been lost. No, those people just didn't know anything. The problem is, you don't know the scriptures and the power of God. That's your problem. But I'll give you an answer since you asked me, but it's not going to help anything. Now, so here we are. God has given us, this is where we are, and excuse me for the terminology, but just make a point. He's kind of said, you know, get off your butt and do something. I mean, he does it more spiritual than I do, because he is. By the way, he's telling me this constantly. So I want us to look at this, and this is powerful. We're going to close with this. We know salvation is a free gift. And all God's people said, okay, here's the overhead, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not by your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works. It's not the result of works that no one may boast. And all God's people said, amen. Look at the next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's a free gift. But you're my workmanship, and I have prepared something for you to walk in. I want you to do something that has been prepared for you. You're just being obedient to do what I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's happening. And Jesus goes, problem is you don't know the scripture or the power of God. Now, why am I saying that to you? Because he tells me this all the time. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. God, tell me what you're doing. And he goes, okay, I will. But your problem is you don't know the scriptures and the power of God. It's jeez. Amen? So he is saying, how many people, I don't have time to be in the Word. I know you don't know the scriptures because you won't read it. You know, you're coming in here listening to Wallace, and I'm not sure what he knows, you know? But if you'd read it, you'd know. And it really bothers me when I said you come to see Wallace, you know, I don't know what he knows. Nobody laughed. You should just laugh like crazy on that. Because he said, no, it's like, you know, he's giving you what best he can, but you need to be in it. You need to know the scriptures and the power of God. And you know, God says stuff like this, nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is impossible for you. How can that be? If you knew the scriptures and the power of God, then you would know the possibility. Amen? Hallelujah. So this is, he told them, this is the final act. He's going, I'm doing this. This thing is happening just the way I intended. Just the way it was being prophesied for the last 2,000 years. It is happening. And I'm going to leave you this story because it's going to continue to happen. And by the way, and I am coming back, and I'm coming back to mount all this. I'm going to split it in two, and then I'm going to gather all the folks and say, hey, what'd you do with the gifts I left you? There's that. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. And I'm going to say, he's just going to give you all this stuff. And I mean, he's going to pour out all these blessings on you. You're going to see me over in the corner in my underwear going, gosh, I wish I'd done something. But that's okay. I'm happy you're there, and I'm happy I'm there. All right? But he's going to pour out the based on you doing the work he's prepared for you to do. That's what it says. But he has to leave for us to do his work. Do you want, gosh, I just fired up. I don't know about this. Do you know what it says in John? This is what it says in John. When I leave, you'll do greater works than me. That's what he says. You know? It all ties in. It all ties in. Know the scriptures and the power of God, and we can figure it out, sort of, because we've got to continue to grow in that. Hallelujah. I think we should just praise Jesus on this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and love, and that, Lord, you made the ultimate sacrifice. You fulfilled all scripture. You fulfilled all scripture. You fulfilled, you know, just multitudes of scripture in this last week. Multitudes of scripture on the cross. Multitudes of scriptures you did each and everything. It was all told beforehand. They all had it. Everyone there at Jesus' time had the scripture. What we have today is the fulfillment of it in the New Testament. We know more than all those people at that time. We know more than all those people at that time. And God says, just I'm going to tell you, read the scriptures. I've given you gifts. Nothing is by accident. God, we thank you. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.